Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, it's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
And this is Beer Army Engaged. Man, look, I'm just going to get this right out of the way real quickly because I'm going to already hear an earful from you.
Okay.
I suck at fantasy football.
Well, I was going to head at the top of our list to talk about our fantasy football report, but I wasn't going to bring it up to bust your balls, but
yeah, right.
Because I lost 2 weeks straight now, so I've skidded to 500 at 3-3. I'm so pissed because I have Eli Manning. And I sat down Andrew Luck because he sucked balls so bad. But then he goes out on a tear against Peyton Manning. And I'm just like, son of a bitch. So even though I freaking, you know, even though I freaking scored over 100 points, which you're usually doing pretty good. I mean, that's not the be-all, end-all. But
look at this. Seriously. Here's my lineup. Just so you can see how horrible.
Well, the thing that frustrates me is that would have been 17 more points. And probably still would have lost, but it would have been a lot closer.
I'm just doing horrible. I have Teddy Bridgewater, Emmanuel Sanders, Randall Cobb, Adrian Peterson, Jay Cameron as my tight end, Jay Forsett as my running back, Aguilar is my wide receiver, and Roethlisberger is my backup quarterback. And, man, Sanders just, he's pulled the ACL on his shoulder. Randall Cobb's been a fantasy flop.
This is why you need
Peterson
to drop.
Hasn't delivered.
You got to drop and pick up.
Aguilar's.
I can't believe you can't figure that out yet.
Like, I'm not going to spend my time getting sucked into fantasy football. I did this for you, buddy.
You did it for me, huh?
Hey, join our team. I didn't lose too badly. I got beat by House Mouse 93-76.
I know, but he moves up to 4-2, which puts him fourth overall and puts him second in my conference, and I got to hear his mouth then. So
I'm 1-5.
I know, but I still got to hear his mouth. Yeah, but see, you're 1-5. Yeah, I guess so. You dropped to fifth in our standings for our conference, for the Ales conference. We split our fantasy football into two conferences.
Out of
Ales
what?
And
out of
Lagers.
What? Five?
No, 4 out of 5 in our conference, but you're 9th out of 10 overall in the league. So.
Yes, I'm not last.
Let's get off that. But anyways, push the new pledging. Obviously, we're have our own pledging platform because we migrated off of Patreon. We pretty much got everybody off that, and we're still got a couple last stragglers we're going to be moving over. But thanks to all those that have signed up and recommitted onto our platform. You can go on to beerarmy.org/pledge. You can pledge your support. You can also just go click on the donate button, do a one-time donation. The key difference between donating and pledging is a reoccurring monthly,
right?
Whereas donating is a one-time thing. But again, remember, all your pledges and donations are tax-deductible because we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we do appreciate it. So, but please consider becoming a Beer Army Super Soldier. That's what we call our pledgers. You get some free swag and stuff depending on what level you pledge to. So, you know, please check it out.
Absolutely, and I'm loving the switchover. Seems like it's
seamless.
Seamless and friendlier and one-stop shop.
Yeah, somebody told me that, like, literally, it asked for a very limited amount of information. Mm-hmm. They were able to knock it out in, like, 30 seconds flat. Bam, it was done. You know, and then they just contacted us, removed them off Patreon, or asked Patreon to remove them. And, yeah, it's very straightforward. So,
sweet.
Well, again, we appreciate everybody's support. And Sierra Nevada collaboration
weekend. Just going to ask you about that,
I was
so pissed.
I know you came in. God. Yeah, you're pissed because you looked at the case of beer, all the cases of beer that we brought.
No, it's not I'm pissed at that. I was pissed because of all those awesome photos and the welcoming that they laid out for you guys.
It was awesome.
And just what, honestly, the seed that's planted with this is absolutely amazing.
I'm very excited. And what we're talking about is we did a special collaboration with Sierra Nevada, but they have over 300 employees at the Mills River location. I think they have over 500 at the Chico location. But the Mills River location, they have a significant amount of veterans that they employ there.
That's awesome.
And so we did this collaboration with all the veterans of Sierra Nevada. Well, all the full-time veterans at Sierra Nevada at the Mills River location. And it was just awesome. And they were like thanking us. Thank you for – I'm like, thank us? I said, thank you, you know. And yeah. Brian Grossman did make himself available a little bit. Of course, the guy's really busy. He's trying to run a friggin' big, you know, international conglomerate-type brewery. His uncle, Steve Grossman, who handles a lot of their sales, exports, and does distribution deals, he pretty much attended the entire time, which really blew me away. And it was really nice to talk to him. He's a big kind of heavy metal head. He was talking about Anthrax and some others. And, you know, just the original drummer, I guess, for Anthrax is one of their sales guys for like the last 7 years or something like that. I was like, you're kidding me.
That's so cool.
So Scott, is it Ian or Ian?
Scott Ian.
Ian, yeah. He knows.
Watch what I say.
Yeah, he knows him and stuff like that. And they were talking about doing a special guitarist here in Nevada. It was just really cool hearing all the stories. And again, we really appreciate it. Keep your ears open because we will announce when we're going to release this bad boy. We're really looking forward. It's a Dunkel Weizenbach. Should be coming in at just over 8%. Go to the Facebook page, the Beer Army General Facebook page. You'll see all the pictures that we had. I mean, it was cool. We got an all-access pass tour to include being on top of the roof to being in the bowels of the building, you know, and everywhere in between. It was just very cool.
From what you told me, though, the response those veterans there gave Beer Army, man, that's humbling.
No, it's very humbling, and you know, I appreciate their service, not just to obviously Sierra Nevada, but to their country.
Exactly.
And having that common denominator. And all branches of service were represented, to include the Coast Guard. And so it was just really cool. And there was a little bit of ribbing and stuff like that. And so that was a lot of fun. But I know we got to get going because we are going to talk about
them later on. Yeah, yes, there'll be more follow of Sierra Nevada,
What I do want to talk about is the week before last, we had the Devil's Backbone takeover. And what was ironic is, remember when we were hanging out with Eric Salazar at New Belgium, we actually ran into Brody Downs, who's their HR director, during that GBF, and he was at New Belgium touring as well. So at the Tap Takeover, we met with Elizabeth Van Hoppen, who is their craft adventure coordinator for ENC. And, you know,
what a great title.
Yeah. And so I wanted to feature, because we featured DB. I'm not talking about Double Barley, which we have done four times, but we've never featured DB as in Devil's Backbone ever. And I was like, oh my gosh.
You can't say that after today.
Yeah. And I was like, we've got to feature it. So today we're featuring Devil's Backbone Brewing Company out of Roslyn and Lexington, Virginia, because they have two locations. Their Vienna Lager clocking in at 5.2% ABV. You can find out more about Devil's Backbone by going to their website at dbbrewingcompany.com. And then you click on there, you can get to the beers and check out more about the Vienna Lager. But this Vienna Lager is very similar to an Oktoberfest-type beer. It's definitely inspired with that. This has been a core offering since they opened up in 2008, and this beer is available year-round. You know, I know some people would be like, oh, it's kind of plain and Jane. I always want to judge a brewery. If I truly want to judge a brewery, I go to one of their lightest offerings because you cannot hide any flaws in a lighter offering, you know? And this
you've
is definitely...
said that for years.
Oh, a million times.
Years,
and they make other great beers. And we had their pumpkin beer. We had their 6-point, their 8-point IPAs, all that during the Tap Takeover. But I really wanted to feature this beer because I think it's a really great lager that it doesn't get enough credit. And so it pours nice. It pours with a very nice orangish, brownish, it's amberish, but it's more orange brownish color with a low to moderate off-white head that has some staying power. There is some lace. It has this nice bready aroma of biscuit and malt with some caramel and a touch of toffee, just barely there.
Man, you nailed it with that.
And I think you definitely get, towards the end, you get some of these grassy notes, which I'm going to assume is from the hops, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the flavor is very similar to the aroma, with malt being very forward. It's very malty up front of caramel. But then I'm also picking up a touch of brown sugar and even some raisin-type sweetness. And I think you really got to dig. You got to let it warm up, and you start peeling through there. And because normally beer like this, I wouldn't say brown sugar or raisins, but that's what I'm picking up. And then I'm definitely getting that grassy hop flavor following that. And it finishes with a very mild bitterness. It's not harsh or anything, and doesn't really linger. And it just makes me want to drink more.
Man, I would love to have this as a staple in the fridge.
Definitely. That's got low to medium body and carbonation with a nice mouthfeel that's smooth. It is a nice party beer. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about beer bong in here, but I'm saying you can have many of this beer without getting bored of it.
Every swallow, I mean, you're like, that's good.
Yeah. They've won many medals to include World Beer Cup. They took a silver in 2014. The Great American Beer Festival, they took gold in 2012 and silver in 2009. And then they've done a lot of Australian International Beer Awards. I just want to go down there. It's like, hey, mate, I'll go down there. Yeah.
I got buddies. We can crash.
Sweet, man. They took a bronze in 2015, a silver in 2014 and 2013. And then if that isn't enough, they were also named Midsize Brewing Company and Brew Team of the Year in 2014 at GABF. They were named Small Brewing Company and Small Brewing Company Brewer of the Year in 2013, and then Small Brew Pub and Small Brew Pub Brewer of the Year in 2012. That's all for the Great American Beer Festival. And then they were Champion Brewing Brewmaster Small Brew Pub at 2010 World Beer Cup.
Wow.
What I'm trying to get at is that these guys know, and you should see the medals for all the other beers. They are out of control, man, when it comes to meddling and just winning awards. And so that tells you something, you know, that they know how to make beer. So the idea to open Devil's Backbone happened over 20 years ago when founders Steve and Heidi Crandall were on a ski trip in Italy and they had their first craft beer experience. And I'm doing air quotes there. They settled on Nelson County, Virginia, as they felt it was the perfect place to bring great food, beer, and people together and launched their brew pub in 2008. If you remember back in 2008, what was going on?
The economy
huge
changed.
Economic yeah. collapse. So can you imagine spending hundreds of thousands of dollars investing, and it's like, meanwhile, everything's burning to the ground economically, you know?
But well, when others, you know, run from gunfire, some run too.
No, yeah. I'm with you. So the name Devil's Backbone pays tribute to the geographical area that they are in and was originally charted in the mid-1700s. It was laid with many challenges to survey this region, not to include, you know, things like Indians, the precipice of falling off cliffs, how many horses they lost just because they fell off the steep, you know, edges of this mountain range and stuff like that. So they tipped their hand as opening their brewery again during those economic times is very challenging. So I kind of like that. Also, if you're a motorcyclist, there's a section, I think it's 31 miles of road. It's called Devil's Backbone. It's got so many curves. It's very beautiful and, you know, serene and scenic. And I definitely highly recommend people go check it out. The name Devil, or we were talking about the base camp. So they have their two locations. So the Base Camp Brew Pub in Meadows is their brew pub where they obviously started. And that's located in Roslyn, Virginia. And so Roslyn, Virginia is about maybe 10 miles or so southwest of Charlottesville, as you're looking at. And Charlottesville is due west of Richmond, about an hour, to kind of to put you in. So they're located on 100 acres there. So there is where they have what is now their pilot brewing system, which is a 8.5 beer barrel. I know you want to say like 8.5 because they are on the hectoliter. So it's actually a 10 hectoliter, which translates into about 8.5 beer barrels. That's that European thing. But
yeah, well, that's where they got their start.
Right, brew house. They have 16 taps, and then they have a pub menu that specializes in oak wood fire smoked dishes. Does that not make you want to go visit?
Yeah.
So, road trip. So they're killing it. Obviously, you've seen the medals that they're doing and stuff like that. So in 2012, they opened their 15,000 square foot production facility. And so the Outpost Brewery and Tap Room, and I love the name because you know we like the word outpost, is located just on the other side of the Blue Ridge Mountains in the Shenandoah Valley in Lexington, Virginia. And ironically, it's about an hour away to drive to it, but as a crow flies, it's only about 25 miles. But because you got the mountain range, you can't take a direct path to it or whatever. But there is some hiking trails, so it is technically feasible that you could hike between the two. I thought that would be pretty cool.
Way to work off that beer.
Yeah, exactly. So the main Outpost Brewing Tap Room, it features a 30-barrel brew house bottling their canning lines, and they're currently expanding, wait for it, 120 beer barrel brew house.
Whoa.
I was like, I mean, that's a big-ass brew house. So the Outpost Brewing Tap Room produced almost 45,000 beer barrels in their first 3 years. So they opened up in 2012, and, you know, they've already cranked out. I'm just like, wow. So we definitely got to do road trip because just to hit the brew pub. We're definitely going to be giving Elizabeth Van Hopen a call because we definitely want to get out there and say, hey, will you show us around? So
well, there's some bottle shops, not only in Virginia, but in South Carolina, I want to hit that have some amazing selections. But in doing so, the excuse could be, you know,
education.
Education. Let's get more informed about Devil's Backbone. What do you say?
So they make great beer. This is just one of many. They do a Schwartz beer that's pretty dang good. I do like their 8-point IPA.
That stays on my palate too long. I would do a 4-ounce pour or an 8-ounce pour over a pint. Of that.
Of this?
No, of 8.
Oh, gotcha.
It's good, don't get me wrong, but it really coats the palate, and it takes a lot to get that off of, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Off my tongue. But great beer. No, this Vienna Lager, seriously, this needs to be a staple in my fridge.
Yeah, you can drink, like I said, many. This is a six-pack beer.
Yeah. Well, it
That's
is.
A new term I'm going with, six-pack beer.
The Vienna Lager from Devil's Backbone. Get all the information you need and link to more from Devil's Backbone right there at beerarmy.org. And the show notes as well. If you're on iTunes on your phone, just double-click on the Beer Army Engage logo and it'll pull up the show notes from there and you have access to everything you need. And definitely rate and review and spread the good news and good word of Beer Army. And stick around. We do have our Heroes Never Die segment coming up and an awesome one. Talk about going MacGyver. Jeez, man.
Yeah, I know, right?
Good find.
I love it. I had to really hunt and peck to find the video. I love this guy's name. Wait until we debut it.
Well, that's coming your way here. Stick around.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org. Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
Beer Army Radio.
Hey, don't forget BeerArmy.org, your awesome resource for all things Beer Army related. And I can't stress enough, if you can become a super soldier, I highly encourage you to do so. You'll be welcomed into the fold, and we have some great incentives for doing that. So click on the pledge button right there at BeerArmy.org on the homepage.
Or you can just go to BeerArmy.org/pledge. And I definitely want to reiterate what you said when we were going into the break. Please consume us any way you want. We're talking iTunes. We're talking Podbean. We're talking Stitcher Radio. Of course, if you go to BeerArmy.org/radio, you can consume us there. But definitely rate and review, because each one of those applications will allow you to do that. And share with your friends on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. That helps us help our community. You enable us to be able to do that. And like, for instance, on Facebook, we listed the last person yesterday.
Yeah,
finally,
I saw that.
Even though it was premature, with Scott, House Mouse Scott released the whole flyer showing all 13 scholarship recipients. But it's very, very powerful, and we really appreciate everybody that supports us, because you've made that possible, not us. We're just the conduit through which it happens. So
I can't wait for next year, man. Even more scholarships next year.
Yeah, we're gearing up. Actually, we moved the scholarship season, so it'll be 1 January to March 31st, right? There's 31 days in March. I don't know off the top of my head. Whatever the end of March
is. Use the knuckles, man.
Use the January. Yes, there's 31 days in March then.
Yeah.
I know the knuckle thing. See, I know it. I laugh because, you know, like, wow, that must be, do all elementary schools teach it that way?
Yeah, 31. It's a knuckle month.
But we'll be updating our application. We won't be accepting any applications. If we get them before or after that, you're disqualified.
There's a window.
Accepted. Yeah. So you can get on the website, even though some of the information is dated, it's all going to apply. And we're going to be offering scholarships in the state of Virginia next year and Oregon. So those are two new states that we're going to be adding. So it'll be North Carolina, Virginia, and Oregon. So we're very excited about that.
Mm.
So, and again, because people like you that are listening have made it happen. So we do appreciate it.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you so much. And right now, though, it's this world is crazy. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what situation you're going to find yourself. Now, with that in mind, imagine yourself in a situation where there's no out.
No
there's
out.
There's nowhere to go.
Nowhere to hide.
Yeah. In a situation like that, when things turn on a dime, you never know who's going to step in the gap.
Mick, it's crazy because I have kids. I know you don't have kids, but no. When you travel, you try to think about all possible scenarios.
I can imagine.
You really war game it, like, okay, how many diapers do I need to bring? Well, if they really shit their pants, I might need to bring 5 or 6. And you end up bringing a diaper bag that's so fully loaded, and then they don't even have one bowel movement. And you're like, damn, man, I brought all this stuff. And formula, if you're breastfeeding and everything else.
I shouldn't have given him so much cheese.
I'm telling you, dude, Mary be like, well, I got 2 boobs, so if he runs out, I'll feed him this. I mean, literally, you game plan stuff, especially when they're newborns. Or, I would say 2 years and younger is very crucial to make sure you have an effective game plan when you're traveling with young toddlers at 2 infants.
So Mary has to remind you she has 2 boobs?
No, I try to find out for myself, but she keeps giving me the stiff arm. She keeps giving me the Heisman, man. I don't know what the hell's going on here. It's like, mama, And I do this, I don't know. I don't. Oh, great. I'm going to pay for that one.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, you pregame, you plan for any potential scenario.
You really
That's
do.
That's just being proactive. It's in maintaining your situational awareness. So
in this situation, our hero for the week, or our Heroes Never Die segment, is a situation where you're on a plane. We're talking about a transatlantic flight. Mm. And what you need, you don't have because you packed it in the luggage. Mm. And it becomes a life or death situation for your child. That is a scary feeling, and I know we got some great audio video to go with this, so I'll let you take it away.
So basically, the child was in the mother's lap, a little short of breath and crying and a little agitated because, he had a cold, and then with the kind of temperature in the plane and also the asthma history, he was getting slightly worse. As far as the parents, he had 2 episodes of shortness of breath before I got there.
And he was crying, shortness of breath. You're about 4 hours into this flight when you saw the boy. You got up to him, you checked his oxygen level, and it was extremely low. So you knew that this kid needed his asthma medication, but his parents had packed it away, didn't think they'd need it. What did you do? How did you jump into MacGyver mode at that moment?
Well, so what happened was that the crew and us and me collaborated, kind of. They got all the equipment. We kind of team tagged this, and I looked around and I realized that we didn't have a way to kind of pass the medication and oxygen together. So I created this out of a water bottle, a cup, and hooked that to the oxygen tank and used an adult inhaler.
Wow. And did the boy start to respond?
Yes, when I started.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that crazy, man? What the thing is, you got to watch the whole thing, especially the beginning, because they announce him and his name. I love his name, dude. His name is Dr. Khurshid Guru, as in Dr. Guru. Isn't that awesome?
He's the guru of the MacGyver skills.
He's the director of robotic surgery at the Roswell Park Cancer Institute. So obviously he has medical background, but again, to fashion some stuff between water bottle, cup, an oxygen bottle, and an
oxygen mask and an adult inhaler.
Right. Wow. And what we're talking about here is an asthmatic toddler who was struggling to breathe during a transatlantic flight. And we're talking about this Air Canada flight that was going from Spain to the U.S. So they're in the middle of this thing. You ain't going to be like, oh, time out. Let's just get down into the cargo hold, and get. First of all, when I first heard it, I wanted to smack the shit out of the parents, like, you got an asthma, you have a toddler with asthma, you're not going to have the inhaler with you. What are you doing? It's like, so the kid or this, or the, wow. the kid, the toddler though, besides trying to struggle to breathe, if you continue listening, it went out and he was able to revive and basically saved this kid's life, saved the toddler's life. And he's very humble about it. And he kind of goes off on a tangent. Of course, there's a little bit of a language barrier there, I think, too. Because he's like, yeah, we team tag it. And it's like, yeah, okay, tag team tag, whatever. But no, so again, Dr. Guru, you are our hero, for this week. And we really appreciate you stepping up. And, when they asked, hey, is there a doctor on board? You stood up, said, yeah, I'm a doctor, even though it might not be a doctor that deals with asthma or something like that. And,
just so nonchalant, straight professional. There's a photo of him on the plane.
Yeah.
And he's, he's either showing the device he made after the fact, or it's like he's made it and he's determined and he's about to take it to where it needs to go. But he's just, the look on his face is just like...
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Determination. It's,
regardless of where you're at, can you imagine the pressure? Parents are panicking. The kid is choking.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine.
A toddler, not just a kid. And you're trying to like, okay, I need this. I need that. I need, duct tape, rubber bands, staples, glue. It's not like a plane where you're like, oh, yeah, we got that in the office next door, or I'll run down the street or call 911. I mean, you're literally having to create something to save this kid's life. Wow. Like,
that's just
amazing. Yeah.
The chaos that's going on around him, I'm sure.
Right. It's very chaotic. And then the pressure, and then it's almost like defusing a bomb type situation. You've got to get something going.
Mm-hmm.
And it needed to happen 30 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. And so that's the pressure that I'm talking about. It's one thing to perform something heroic, it's a whole other thing to do it under pressure like that, where I just think is mind blowing.
You're right. It's one thing when you were just reacting and you save a situation. It's another thing when you know the outcome you need to achieve and you have to think about what you need to do to achieve it. And there's all that pressure
right
there. That's what's mine. That's amazing.
But I just, again, I just love the name, though. Dr. Guru.
Guru. only fitting.
Yeah, I think it's awesome, man. If he doesn't drink beer, we're drinking one for him, man. I tell you right now.
I will have a Vienna lager for him.
That's right.
I will.
So again, Dr. Guru, thank you so much. Director of Robotic Surgery at the Roswell Park Cancer Institute. That's up in New York. Thank you so much for being that hero on that Air Canada flight from Spain to the U.S. and not sitting idly by or saying, hey, I ain't getting involved, or liability. Especially doctors, they have to think about that. When they're doing things or performing things, I've read many cases where doctors get sued because what would have happened if this child would have died anyways? They would have said, well, he touched him last, and there would have been liable. You see it all the time. That's why we have these stupid, frivolous lawsuits of epic proportions, why we're so jacked up in this country.
It's a one-track mind. They have a result in mind, and when they don't get it, they want to blame.
No, and so that's the reason why, my hat's off to you, because when you're a doctor, you want to know why freaking medical care costs so much in this freaking country?
Insurance.
Because the insurance policies they have to cover or have to carry for malpractice and for these frivolous bullshit lawsuits, And I think there's a lot of doctors that would say, I would be more than happy to reduce my fees if I wasn't getting charged up the ass with insurance. There's doctors getting out of the profession because it's just too damn expensive, and they feel guilty because the oath they took that,
The Hippocratic Oath, No, and that's the sad thing is they take a Hippocratic oath to help anybody in need, but right. when that help comes at a cost of litigation.
Well, ironically, Hippocratic almost becomes hypocritic. You know what I mean? And yes. and then I can understand why somebody says, you know, yeah, I'm gonna go flip burgers. I was a doctor at one time. Now I'm just gonna flip burgers. You know, because no good deed goes unpunished. It seems like, you know.
That's true.
But thank God that ever. In this one, it was recognized. It was. Its recognition is its own reward, so to speak, but really another child is alive because of him is truly the reward. That's the badge.
A life is able to still be lived.
Yeah, because heart's still beating.
Because of Dr. Khurshid Guru.
But hey, parents, if you got a freaking situation like that, prepare for for all situations.
If your toddler has a medical issue like that, don't pack it in there. No, really, check right? luggage.
It's like, wow.
That's insane. Oh, I love that helicopter. Listen to that.
You like that?
Yeah, you got to love living in a military area.
Well, when your studio is right underneath the...
Is that a 53? Sounds like a 53.
Yeah, I think you might be right with
Although
that.
Although that rotor's moving a little too fast for a 53. Well, what is that? What do you think it is?
I'm thinking maybe an Osprey, but I don't know.
It could be. I have no idea.
But is he hovering right above the studio?
It sounds like he is. Hey, isn't that where Beer Army and Gage is recorded? Hey, stick around. We do have our Yikim to sue. Just like you can't make up that there's like a aircraft hovering above our studios, you can't make up some stuff in the news. So we got some good stuff to get to. You got anything you want to share about what you're going to unfold before?
No. I'm excited to hear about your Yikim to sue because we featured a little bit of similarities last week with the whole wedding lightsaber duel. So
well, I'm a bit of a geek. So I'm gonna let my geek out. I'm gonna rock out with my geek out.
Good to go.
But a weird story to share in regard to any geeks out there. Apparently, there are some that are really hypersensitive.
Oh, okay.
Even not, if not racist.
Okay, a racist.
So stick
geek.
Around for Yikim to Sue. It's coming your way.
Hey, mothers, lock up your daughters. It's Mick Dagger and the General.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army Engaged.
Well, welcome back. I ran downstairs to see what this crazy aircraft was.
You wave the helo off?
Hovering above us.
Say, hey, man, it's not a hot LZ?
No, it's this guy on this ultra-loud zero-degree turn mower out there. He's mowing a 15 by 15 foot like front yard next door on this huge mower.
Oh, we're like, what is that, a 53? No, I think maybe it's an Osprey. No, it's a, Dixie Cutter or whatever that brand is. Or
it was a big one. It was one of those big ones.
Oh, my gosh.
I gave him a dirty look, and he just did a circle and then took off down the road to mow an empty lot.
We obviously know our helos.
So. I swear to God, that kind of sounded like that. It had that low end of a 53, man. But it was just the RPMs were too fast.
That is awesome, dude.
Anyway.
That is so awesome.
Speaking of awesome, did you catch Monday Night Football?
Bro, I was living it. Well, Monday Night Football, I did. But before you talk about Monday Night Football, let's talk about Sunday Football, because this shit you can't make up. And I'm talking about the Carolina Panthers, baby. 5-0, one of three teams right now.
They're good. They're legit. They showed it.
Coming back on the Seahawks. Now, if you're a Seahawks fan, it was a good game. It was really smash-mouth football. Not to mention when they had the postseason last year or whatever, and the tensions are still high. But holy crap, they're shoving, there's fighting. And then for the Seahawks fans, this is the fourth game where they had the lead all the way into the fourth quarter and gave it up at the end.
They're on self-destruct.
I Facebooked it right away. I'm like, 5-0, baby. I took a picture of the stupid scoreboard like
first
an immature.
First time since 2003, the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. No, yeah. I'm with you. So I'm feeling good, buddy. I'm feeling good. I'm sorry, not to cut you off, because I know on Sunday night, I think I know what you're going to talk about.
I mean, I'm a Panthers fan, don't get me wrong, but I mean,
can't. Or not Sunday night, Monday night, I'm saying. I think I know what you're going
to
talk about.
Let me finish. I'll get to Monday night. But gotcha. Cam rubs me the wrong way, man.
Why?
He's got this... it's weird. It's like this dichotomy of individuals. He has this like arrogance that I just want to throat punch him.
Throat punch.
His first down move he does is just,
oh, yeah.
I can't stand it.
Or the Superman thing?
Then he scores a touchdown, and he's like a little kid with a giddy smile, and he jumps up, and he's great with the crowd. And I'm like, that's really freaking cool. And then he goes, and he gets his sad cam mode, and he goes and sits on the bench and tucks his towel in and hides his head. And it's just, I don't know.
No, I'm with you. I think I understand where you're coming from there, Matt.
But no, they are. They're a legit team, and it's good to have Luke back.
Yeah. Oh, my God, he's a madman. That guy runs like all...
He's all over the field.
It's crazy. Every single play, I think he's running at least 40, 50 yards from side to side, east to west, north to south. He's a beast. I mean, I know they talk about beast mode. I saw him go head-to-head, though.
Oh, he shut Lynch down.
Holy cow,
he made him regurgitate his Skittles.
The thing I love is that, you know, I've been a Panther fan since we moved back here, 2006. And it's been kind of a lonely time. I mean, it's like a Hurricanes fan. I'm a Hurricanes fan, too. And it's like, oh, my God, guys, can we get our shit together, you know? No, we've had some good highs since 2006, don't get me wrong. But it's just, that's what being a fan is. When you're down the, in the bowels of hell, so to speak, in the basement, you're like, can we just get string together some freaking wins? So to go 5-0, hey, they can say, hey, we don't have it. I don't care. We're 5-0 right now.
Well, you are. And it's legit. I mean, they're legit wins, man. You can't deny it. But Monday Night Football, it was, wow, what a self-destruct the Giants had.
Yeah, they did. They came out great first quarter, but
I could really honestly care less. I didn't have any fantasy investment into that game, and I was just hanging around for a halftime.
Well, I was hanging because of Eli Manning, because that's how I had it for standing quarterback for fantasy football. But I know what you're going to talk about, because I'm so stoked about this.
Yeah, I was hanging around for halftime for the third and final full trailer for Star Wars. The previous were just teases. Mm-hmm. This was the full 2-minute, 10-second trailer for Star Wars.
I geeked out.
Oh, it was awesome. Man.
I was raised to do one thing. Nothing to fight for.
I'm getting chills right now.
Nothing will stand in our way.
This looks good.
I will finish what you started.
You saw it. We'll make sure there's a link to it for you there. So definitely,
I'm assuming that's the new Darth Vader, because they show Darth Vader.
Well, it's not the
like
new Darth
skeleton
Vader. It's a different character
or whatever. But it looks like whoever it is, the evil lord. So yeah, I'm
dark
totally
side
stoked.
In full effect in this.
I'm so excited, because I think what makes it so exciting is that you get to relive Star Wars. Like for me, with my kids now, like they can't relate to the old. Like when you say Star Wars, they're talking about thinking of the first three. They're not even thinking about the middle three, you know?
The
Empire Strikes Back,
the original
Star Wars,
ones were Episode 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
That's, you know, A New Hope, Episode 4 came out in 77. I was 3. You were what, 4 or 5?
77, 5, yeah.
Yeah. So I remember it. I saw it at a drive-in theater.
I did too.
And this, the new approach to this, Disney taking it over, the director they got, it is recapturing that whole feel and vibe of Episodes 4, 5, and 6. And I am geeking out. But sadly, this actually leads into something I just can't make up, man. So, Dustin, what do you say? How about we yick him to Sue?
Let's do it.
But you know what? There are a number of people, though, that seem to be pretty pissed.
Really?
Following the full trailer. Yeah.
So,
because Episode 7, The Force Awakens, has a multicultural cast of characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really have a multicultural cast of characters in the original series until Lando Calrissian in Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
But this one, the focus is the multicultural thing. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, me too.
But apparently, there is...
aliens on top. I mean, we always had aliens.
No, it's boiled down to the fact that the focus is on a female lead and a black male lead.
Oh, I mean racial.
Racial, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. What now?
Well, it's supposed to set up a firestorm, man. Because there's a hashtag out there, Boycott Star Wars 7. It started trending on Twitter on Monday night. Some people calling for a boycott of the movie. They claim that it's anti-white. You can't make this up. It's Star Wars.
Well, listen, all the stormtroopers are in white.
I'm on there. Bam.
Isn't
Mic
he,
drop.
Isn't he wearing a white outfit? Is that what we mean by biracial? Black dude in white outfit? I mean, what? I mean,
the
what
good
the
thing
hell,
is,
man?
Is that more people are beginning to slam these proposed boycotters. So, but they're claiming, you know, this racial debate and all this other crap. So,
wow.
Anti-white propaganda promoting hashtag white genocide. That's what this group white is genocide. Purporting.
Wow, you can't make that shit up.
Well, yeah, and in a direct quote, one of the people, you know, promoting this boycott of Star Wars Episode 7 is quoted as saying, "White children deserve wholesome movies, not more PC anti-white diversity crap."
Wow. Holy crap.
How man. Far is your head up your ass?
Pretty far.
When you can't accept that there is a whole world out there of people that look differently than you.
Especially when you're talking about a intergalactic... where you have alien... you know what I mean? Like, are you serious?
It's a whole, you know... solar system and other planets and other worlds.
Intergalactic saga. Like, that's the word I was looking
everybody
for.
On every planet's white. Oh, wow. I mean, that's the... I don't know. This is insane. But what's nuts is that the tickets went on sale. Yeah. It doesn't open until December 18th. Uh-huh. Tickets started selling out. I have friends out in Colorado that were like, I couldn't get tickets until December 26th because all the showings...
Wow.
Like, and they took them 2 hours to get tickets because the websites kept crashing. It's going to be big, man. You thought Star Wars comes in at number 2 on the all-time grossing movies list.
No.
The first one's Gone with the Wind, but Star Wars had like 1.4, near 1.5 billion in gross sales since its release in 77. This one, I think, worldwide and everything else, I don't know. This might take the top spot.
I'm with you. I'll tell you what takes the top spot, though. And I know we talked really long about this segment.
Sorry, but when I let my geek out, it's kind of hard to pull it back in.
No, I want to make sure we hit some other stories here. So what I want to talk about, though, is, again, because you can't make that up. Well, you can't make this up either. So out in Clay County, Missouri, what would you do if you're burning trash and your field or the area that you're burning it catches on fire?
Well, if I relate to my 5-year-old self, when I lit a tumbleweed on fire with a match, I just would get on my bike and ride away.
So you would ride away. Would you ride your bike over the fire to try to put it out?
No.
Oh, well, here, you go.
No, I'd go the long way home so nobody knew it was me.
You definitely got to give this a listen then.
A loaded gun went off when the car it was stored in caught fire in a rural Clay County cornfield. Firefighters responded quickly this afternoon to spray water on a Dodge minivan now burnt to a crisp. The car's owner didn't want to go on camera, but told Fox 4 News he was burning a pile of trash when the wind caught the flames and spread to the fire to nearby corn stalks. He says he first tried to put it out with a rake, then hopped into his van and tried to drive over it. But his back tire caught fire, and he got out before the car was engulfed. A gun he had stored underneath the passenger seat discharged a few times, but nobody was hurt.
What's crazy, though, dude, is when I was looking for good audio video of this, every other news station, and this was the Fox affiliate out of Kansas City, Fox 4. Every other one, though, you want to know how they titled it? You want to know how they headlined it?
How?
Man tries to put out fire with van loaded with ammunition. It was like he had one gun and the shotgun went off. And then they tried to sensationalize it, saying it was fully loaded with ammunition and it had a full tank of gas. And I'm thinking... do we really need to try to make this guy
really
be more stupid? You know, them obviously he already feels stupid.
So one round is ammunition.
Well, actually, I think 2 rounds went off. So, you know. But still, you got to admit, though, driving over with your Astro
if
van
it would have been more than 4 rounds, it would have been mass shooting.
I just think it's awesome. And you got to definitely check out the video because I got pictures of the van and what it looks like. I mean, it's burnt up. It's burnt up. Luckily, the guy, he survived.
I don't know why thinking rolling your car over a fire is going to put it out.
Well, I mean, luckily, he's not injured. Maybe his pride is a little bit. He obviously didn't want to go on the record or, you know, go on camera, and I don't blame him, so.
I guess live and learn, but
oh, hey, is that our Hilo again?
That's an actual jet.
Oh, okay.
Good Lord, it's a noisy day out here.
What else you got over there, man?
Well, I have, and this is awesome, man. This is just because the kid in me is really excited, in addition to Star Wars, but I'm an Eddie Murphy stand-up fan.
Oh, I love Eddie Murphy. I know he takes a lot of flack, like when he got off his stand-up, started going into acting, and then later on as he got more popular, some of the crazy stuff he did. But he's a great actor.
Yeah.
He does Delirious and Raw.
His movies were...
Yeah, but Delirious and Raw were awesome. Coming to America, where he plays, you know, the king or whatever, or the prince to the king.
Yeah, yeah.
That is awesome, man.
Trading Places.
Another risky business. Yeah, Trading Places. There was two. There was a part one and a part two, isn't there? Or is there just one?
Trading Places?
No, there was just one. But those guys, the old guys, they make a cameo appearance in something. I just don't remember what the hell it was. But, no, that was a great movie.
There's a lot of good ones.
God, yeah.
He was on point in the 80s.
Oh, man.
I remember watching him on Saturday Night Live when I was a little kid.
Really?
His buckwheat jeans.
Yes.
You know.
Oh.
America mourns.
No, I want to hear what you got then. So
brought
he's back
to you by Exxon.
So he's doing
Buckwheat's dead, but Exxon is there.
But he's doing stand-up again.
Yeah, it's first time in 30 years he accepted the Mark Twain Award for comedy this past Sunday night and actually did some stand-up, and it is worth every bit of this 46 seconds of the clip from it, so check it out.
Bill has one of these. Did y'all make Bill give his back? No, because I know there was a big outcry from people. They was trying to get Bill to give his trophies back. You know you f***ed up when they want you to give your trophies back. Trophy back to him? He should do one show where he just come out and just talk crazy now. I would like to talk to some of the people who feel that I should give back my trophies.
Too bad they bleeped out the cuss words and stuff.
This is absolutely nuts. good stuff there. Eddie Murphy, man, if you're a younger person listening to the podcast right now and you've never seen Delirious or Raw, the stand-up from Eddie Murphy, you need to.
Well, when we say young person, we're not talking little kids. We're talking, because it's definitely adult content.
I'm talking anybody, I'd say 30 and under.
I would think that if you are a student of comedy, if you're somebody that's thinking about going to stand-up, I know he talks about Richard Pryor and how he thought Richard Pryor was great, but I think Eddie Murphy is just awesome. I just really, wow.
I agree.
He just good stuff, so.
I agree.
It'd be cool to see him back on tour, though, doing that. It really would be cool to see him doing stand-up again.
I'd like to see Eddie Murphy. That don't sound like Bill Cosby at all.
No.
I can only do a Pudding Pop commercial. He puts the pudding in the pop. That's going to do it for about Beer Army Engaged. I better quit while I'm ahead, if I'm even ahead. But regardless, we'll be back next week, and I will let you know just how horrible I'm doing with fantasy football. We'll have another beer to feature. Don't forget, Devil's Backbone Brewing Company. Beer featured on this episode. It's their Vienna Lager. Vienna-style lager is absolutely delicious. Check it out. Get more information. Become a super soldier. Hit up beerarmy.org. Hit the pledge button. And don't forget, you can help us do great things. In the meantime,
rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.